Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.ByteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest is Dr. Marilyn Joyce, and we're going to be talking about her book and work, Instant Energy, The Five Keys to Unlimited Energy and Vitality. Dr. Joyce, the Vitality Doctor, provides the gift of her ultimate guide to whole person health, mind, body, spirit, Instant Energy, the Five Keys to Unlimited Energy and Vitality. Regardless of your present level of health or lack of it, you can start today and create real, sustainable, and lasting energy, vitality, and outstanding health. Instant Energy reveals the five simple, time-tested keys that have already been used by thousands of people to transform their lives from lifeless to full of life. And you will absolutely love the more than 200 mouth-watering, nutritious, delicious, quick and easy recipes. For more than 40 years, Dr. Joyce, a registered dietitian with her doctorate in psychology and biochemistry and human nutrition, has been inspiring audiences around the world as a motivational and inspirational keynote speaker, seminar leader, and trainer. You can find out more by visiting her website, which is drmarilynjoyce.com, and I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Marilyn to the show. Good day, Marilyn. Thanks for joining me today.
Hello, Robert. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
It is my pleasure, and boy, I am all ready to, by the end of the hour, be more energetic and full of vitality. So and all of our listeners, I'm sure, are waiting with bated breath to do the same. Anyway, I would love, if you wouldn't mind, I kind of gave a little bit in the introduction as to, you know, that you've been doing this for a long time, but would you mind sharing with the listeners a little bit about your journey and what led you to focus on energy and vitality?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, Robert, it's funny how we are guided to things in our lives, right? I mean, it's like we never really, I'm not a planner. I kind of let the universe and God direct the flow and take me where I'm supposed to go. So, you know, I ended up in India studying yoga when I was 20 years old and thought that was going to be my life. And it was for quite a long time. I had a yoga school in Toronto, Canada, and loved it. But there was that inkling or craving to go back to school and study more. And through a circumstance in my life, I was guided to apply to university, and I applied to four universities and ended up going to Ryerson University in Toronto and getting my degree in biochemistry and human nutrition, my undergraduate degree. And so I came out of school and started working with the Native Americans and Native Canadians and what is now called diabesity, but, you know, diabetes and obesity and so on. And I really loved that work. But in 1985, for whatever reason, I saw a spot on my face, and I went to the doctor and said, "Get this off my face. It was ugly looking, you know." And vanity took me to the doctor, basically, and I think vanity saved my life. You know, I was only 35 years old, so I said to the doctor, "Get this thing off my face," and the doctor said, "This could be serious." And as it turned out, it was early stage, thank goodness, melanoma. But I had also been experiencing incredible pain in my abdominal region for years, and they kept diagnosing it as PMS, you know, and as one woman put it to me, kissing and moaning syndrome. But but that was not as it turned out. She was an elderly lady who just said that it was a good excuse to kiss and moan. But anyway, what happened was a couple of weeks after I was diagnosed with melanoma, I was rushed into hospital and tested and diagnosed with stage 4 uterine cancer. And literally, you could have knocked me over with a feather. I mean, this was I had two great aunts who had died from this, but they were much, much older than I was. And in my work, I was working with elderly people a lot and, you know, chronic illnesses. And I actually saw that, you know, uterine cancer, ovarian cancer, prostate cancer, breast cancer, those were what we used to term as older people's illnesses. Now, that's not the case. And I was a prime example of being only 35 years old and being diagnosed with what used to be an elderly woman's cancer. So, you know, I went on a journey for 5 years. I did go through 3 rounds of chemo, but that would have knocked me out for sure if I'd continued. So what does every great patient do when they stop one form of therapy? They look for another. And I literally traveled the world, spent all of my savings looking for the magic bullet or the miracle cure, and went in and out of cancer 5 times, the second time with melanoma and 2 more times with the uterine cancer. And in 1989, I found myself 88 pounds in a wheelchair, told I had less than 2 weeks to live, go take care of your affairs, and I couldn't eat or drink anything. I was literally just sucking on ice chips to keep myself hydrated. And then the Miracle Weekend happened. You know, we didn't call it that then, but looking back and reframing everything, on the Saturday I was dragged off to a home show, which I did not want to go to. You know, too many people, too much noise, all that kind of thing. And, you know, not a place I wanted to hang out. But I met Jim the Vitamix Man, and Jim was an amazing young man who had dealt with his father going through the cancer journey and had concocted something with nutrition in it for his dad, which kept his dad alive. And he asked me if I was willing to try. And I, at that point, I said, you know what? Heck, you know, I can't eat or drink anything, though. So he made an ice chip form with cantaloupe in it, cantaloupe seeds and the fruit, not the skin. And he very carefully made this concoction up. And, you know, it was interesting because 6 weeks later, my family and I were sitting down looking at this and reflecting back and realizing I had outlived my prognosis now by more than a month. So, you know, I was given less than 2 weeks. Here it was 6 weeks later. So that was the Saturday. The Sunday was a completely different experience, and that was when I met Dr. Bernie Siegel. And he introduced me to the concept of gratitude, which I was not open to initially because I'm sitting there thinking in this wheelchair, what have I got to be grateful for, right? And he pointed out certain things that I should consider and then recommended I do a gratitude journal. So, you know, I went back home. I was up in Toronto, Canada, in the middle of winter, overcast, dark, cloudy, you know, terrible looking skies. Definitely not inspirational in any way, shape, or form. And I remember, you know, praying. And I said, God, if you want me to do this, give me a sign. I need a sign. And within a few minutes, if the sun shone through the clouds. And it was only for a few seconds, Robert. But it was, to me, that was a sign. And that day I wrote, Dear God, thank you for the sun. And I wrote it 5 times. I mean, I couldn't think of anything else that day. But by the end of a month, I wrote 138 gratitudes, and they were all different. So what I realized is what he said is true. What you focus on expands. I'm still here today. And I really believe that it's a large part of it was, you know, that Miracle Weekend. Obviously, you've got to have your food intact, your nutrition, you know, the foundation of nutrition and then the lifestyle, of course, your attitude. And so, that was, in a nutshell, that's basically the story.
Boy, I mean, it's a testament to the actions that you've taken, you know, the fact that, you know, you have lived so long beyond that 1.5 week, you know, prognosis way back when.
Yeah. And I mean, it was really what, you know, directed the direction, in the direction of my work that I've been doing for almost 30 years, which is working with cancer patients and their caregivers. Now I'm about to embark on a different journey, but, you know, I know that there's been thousands of people I've worked with and I've seen amazing results. And it's not, you know, because of my work alone. I am just the messenger. But the point is that Yeah, you know, it's like people have to take the information or the resources or the tools or the tips, and they have to implement them. And that's basically it. It's good. You can have all the information and signs in the world or tips in the world, but if you don't implement and do something with them, you're not going to have any kind of results. So, you know, that's one of the things I have noticed too.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I stress so much with people is that, you know, how important it is to take actions toward whatever it is that you want. You know, simply wanting and hoping and praying, you know, for a particular outcome doesn't get you any closer to that mm-hmm. outcome. You know, action is necessary. Yeah, with your book titled Instant Energy, ENERGY is an acronym. So would you mind sharing with us what does that stand for?
I would love to, Robert. You know, first off, you know, what was the purpose of writing a book called Instant Energy? I mean, truly, I had a book called 5 Minutes to Health back in the 90s, and it was a bestseller, and it was basically a nutrition book, you know, with a little bit of lifestyle thrown in. But when we were talking about revising it, and it was basically going to be the same name, I got stuck in a hotel in Pennsylvania in the middle of an ice storm that lasted 3 days. And so I asked the hotel, can I put out a form and get responses from people, do a survey? And I wrote out, I think it was 6 different titles that we were looking at, you know, the original 5 Minutes to Health. And then Instant Energy was one that kept coming up. And so we put that out. And we got 128 or 132 responses. I can't remember now, but it was around that number of responses, and it was amazing. And about 98% of them said instant energy. And why did they say that? Because, you know, the epidemic today is energy deficit, and I'm talking personal human energy deficit. Mm-hmm. People just don't have energy, and they always think it's going to take too much time and too much money in order to create it. So what I've been trying to teach people is that it's 5 minutes at a time. You know, if you give me 5 minutes, 5 times a day, I will guarantee you instant energy. And basically that's what, you know, when you're sick with an illness, you don't have more than 5 minutes at a time. And if you're the caregiver, yeah. You sure as heck don't have more than 5 minutes at a time. You know, you're so busy between your normal life that you have to take care of and taking care of the person that you love. So it was really out of necessity that I started creating all of this. But anyway, what happened was the book was just going to be called Instant Energy. I had it done. I sent it off to the publisher, and I was really happy that it was like Thanksgiving Day, and I was going to stay in bed as long as I wanted. I had all my healthy food prepared. I had all the accoutrements for a bath, you know, so I was going to soak in the bath for a long time, and then I had rented 8 movies. So I was all set for the day. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, I rolled into bed, and at 6 o'clock in the morning, I woke up. Energy is an acronym. And I'm like, no, God, no, universe, I'm done. The book is done. I'm not doing another thing. This has been a labor of love, but the labor's done. But anyway, I couldn't sleep. So I jumped out of bed. I gave up and jumped out of bed, went to the computer, and in less than 5 minutes, I had it down. And what I noticed, and my assistant was the one who really got it clearly, was that it was the exact order in which I teach my clients the strategies that they need to learn, the keys. Now, there's hundreds of strategies, but there's 5 keys. And I learned these keys, by the way, back in India in 1970 and 71. But they took all day to incorporate in your life because that was the life of an ashram. Now, in this world today, there's no way people are going to have, they don't have the whole day. So it was really looking at what are these 5 keys and then creating the strategies to go with them. So the 5 keys are, the first E is exhale fully first, because that was the first thing I learned was if you do not fully exhale, you can never fully inhale. And I do this in live events. I have people just breathe deeply in and out, and then I tell them, okay, now let's start over and let's do it by blowing everything out and then breathing in. And everyone would notice, you know, every hand would go up and say, wow, it's a totally different experience. So it's exhale fully first, and that's the breathing component. The next component is the N, nutrition excellence daily. You're not weekly, not Monday morning, and not New Year's Day, but actually every day. And you can cheat a little bit if you do it that way, too. So, you know, the cheats are usually really healthy when you've worked with me for a while. You just learn how to, you know, adjust that. So nutrition excellence daily. The next E is for exercise for cellular rejuvenation. Now, there's all kinds of exercise out there, but when you go into a gym, you might work your body out, but it's not the same thing as rejuvenating yourself at the cellular level. So I teach people the kinds of exercises that do that, like rebounding and swimming, if you can swim in a salt-based pool instead of a chlorine-based pool, or bouncing on an exercise ball. Even having an exercise ball chair is a great addition to your office. So that's exercise for cellular rejuvenation. And then we come to the R, and that is the hardest experience for most of us in the developed world. And that's called rest, relax, and rejuvenate, and meditate, and pray. But, you know, rest, relax, rejuvenate. And it's interesting because that every week if I ask a client or a patient, how did you do with that? Oh, that was a hard one. And it's only 5 minutes. So I teach people just 5-minute strategies. Put your feet up, put an alarm clock on, an alarm on, whatever you have to do. If you've got a busy day, put it on, set it for 5 minutes, put on some relaxing music, and then breathe deeply. You know, it's there you've covered two things with one, you know, the breathing and the relaxation. So it's really simple, and there's many other ways to do it, but that's really one of the simple ways. And then the next part is gratitude, attitude, the G. And that is really the one thing that I focus on a lot with my clients because that, I believe, can change your life. If you're going through a really bad day and you've had a lot of, you know, ups and downs, shut everything down for 5 minutes, take out a book, a gratitude book or journal, and write down 5 things you're grateful for. You cannot be grateful and upset at the same time. So that shifts your energy. And then the why is your 5 keys. It's very clear that, you know, or your five keys because there's hundreds of strategies. We find the ones that you will do. We have to meet you where you're at and have you do what you will do. Because if you're not going to do them, it's not going to make any difference, right, like we said earlier. So it's finding the 5 keys. And then it's if down the road you get bored with them, we just simply set up 5 more. So it's your 5 keys. And it was amazing. When we saw that energy was really the acronym for everything I teach, it was like, boy, oh boy, that was definitely a download from the universe. I can tell you that.
How about that? Well, I think it's something that nature plays such a vital role in your inspiration. You know? So
right.
I would think that if you encounter bad weather, it's like, oh boy, I have something coming in, something good.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, goodness.
You can't appreciate
well, that's
good
great.
Response to that.
Exactly. Well, I want to talk just a little bit about each of these in a little bit of detail. First of all, the exhale fully first. I've talked to many people about breathing, you know, the importance, and I, you know, take my time to, set aside and you know, pay attention to my breathing and, you know, do, you know, breathe in deep. But I will say that a lot of times I really don't pay attention too much to the exhaling fully. Get rid of maybe some stagnant air or something that maybe that just kind of sits there if we don't do that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. I mean, the biggest thing that happens is, you know, people will actually say that after they've done some of this fully exhaling about 3 times, you know, you're blow. And what we do is we visualize, because we know that visualizing things really makes it happen more fully, is we visualize that you're blowing out all the dirt and negative air that's within your body, all the toxins, garbage that's accumulated there. So you're blowing it out. And if you can visualize that you're doing that as you're doing the breath, you blow that out. And when you breathe in clean, fresh air. And we do a holding pattern in the breathing once we've blown out the air 3 times and then we start doing the deep breathing. We actually do a holding pattern where we breathe into a count of four, slowly and rhythmically, hold to a count of four, slowly and rhythmically, or counting slowly and rhythmically. But while we're counting that, we're visualizing that air, that oxygenation, going through, permeating throughout your entire body so that you're actually feeding all your cells. And then when we breathe out, we blow out, you know, again, we're breathing out more of the toxins. Because when you bring in the fresh air, you're pushing out the old garbage. But that first exhale fully first, you know, the exhaling fully first, that really does get a ton of that stagnant air out. We do it in school systems. I mean, it's, you know, there is science behind it, but actually doing it is when people experience it. And kids, I go in and they'd be rolling their heads. They're 8 and 10 years old, rolling their heads on the desk. And so I would go in and just teach them breathing. And it was amazing, the changes. These kids would buck right up and have all kinds of energy, and they were ready for the morning. But this is like at 10 o'clock in the morning, you know. So it's a sad state of affairs when a kid 8 years old or 10 years old has no energy for the day.
Yes,
so,
it is.
You know,
it's
just breathing. Yeah, most of us breathe just from our throat. We don't really bring in the entire diaphragm. And so when we breathe into the abdominal region, we're not really breathing into the stomach, but when the stomach expands, that means that we have really taken in a lot of air into our lungs. So it's really teaching people how to do the diaphragmatic breathing, you know, and kids love it once they learn how to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's great because it also starts them on the road to healthier habits. You know, I mean, that's the time when habits get formed.
And what kind of habits are they forming in this day and age, unfortunately? Not, I mean, when I was a kid, we used to go out and play all the time when we weren't in school.
Yeah.
Kids today sit in front of a computer or their whatever the machines are. They
some device, yeah.
Yeah, some device. And the only thing that gets exercise are their fingers or their thumbs.
The nutrition excellence daily, the end part, I have to say, I'm right now, I mean, I've had times of focus on nutrition, then not focus. And lately I've just been starting back on my focus, my focus. You know, and the one thing that I've noticed is, you know, having it as an awareness daily of nutrition, that in itself has for me helped me at least a little bit in you know, being aware of what I'm eating, and then, you know, recognizing how I feel afterwards. And to me, it seemed to be for me to be able to eat and see how I react, like, you know, shortly thereafter, I was able to really identify, you know, how important what I'm eating is affecting my energy level.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the biggest challenge, really, is if people eat mindlessly. And, you know, there's even books out called Mindful Eating and things like that. And it's like everything else. I mean, it's like with your breathing. You have to focus on it in order to really do it properly. The same thing with food. You have to put some focus on it. But it doesn't have to be complicated. And I think what people forget is that the healthiest foods that we can eat are the ones that take the least amount of preparation, like a piece of fresh fruit, you know, some vegetables cut up and, you know, make some hummus that's, you know, very easy to make in a blender. You know, and have some veggies and hummus. You know, that kind of thing is so easy. Or if you're not going to take the time to do it, then go to a store where you can get really good quality ingredients or foods, pardon me, like the already prepared hummus that doesn't have a lot of extra stuff added to it. And, you know, I will say that, you know, some of the bigger stores like Costco have really met the challenge on many levels, and they have better quality products than I ever remember them having, say, 10 or 15 years ago, because the demand is greater. People are actually starting to wake up and demand better quality. But the point is, it's like getting the less preparation you do, the healthier the food is. So eat more fruits and vegetables. That's the thing that we're not eating enough of. And people say to me, well, I don't like vegetables. And the thing that I will tell people, because I've seen it 1,000 times, if not more, is when you change something, Now, at first it may not be comfortable, whatever it is, whether it's going for a walk or eating fresh vegetables, it doesn't matter. When you first start doing something that you're not used to doing, it's uncomfortable. But when you do it for a certain period of time, your body changes. So, for example, mm-hmm. with food, we know through biochemistry that it takes 3 to 4 months to completely replace all of your red blood cells. Here's the kicker. We know through psychoneuroimmunology, which is my background in psychology, that when you make that change, on a cellular level, that change is occurring as well. Your desires change. So, for example, people who never liked fruits or vegetables in the past, they suddenly really enjoy them, and they can't imagine not eating them. And, I mean, I have clients in their 80s who have eaten a certain way until they were in their late 70s, and then they started working with me because they had some energy issues or some other health issues, and now they feel great. And they were people who were diehard, they were from that generation, diehard meat and potatoes and gravy, you know, and now they're diehard salad eaters, you know, because they feel the difference.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I'm currently living in South Carolina, and I spent most of my adult years in California, where you're located, and there is a good amount of attention toward healthy living. Not everyone, but in general, you know, there's a lot of attention compared to, like, South Carolina, where I'm at, you know. And, and when I came here, it was like, you know, I would, you know, go out for lunch, and then while I'm having lunch, people I'm with are already talking about what they're going to have for dinner. I'm like, well, wait a minute. We haven't even finished lunch yet. You know, and so much of the social, you know, activity and interactions revolved around meals. So, I mean, it was a constant struggle, you know, to try and, you know, separate the two, you know, and say, you know, maybe just one meal for me, you know, thank you. The reason that I mentioned that is because it's that plus the, you know, you mentioned about having things around you that are healthy. You know, one of my you know, relatives, when I go to visit, you know, at her house, it's like she has all kinds of junk. I mean, all kinds of junk.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then when I come, it's like, well, let me get some extra junk for Robert. It's like, no, Robert doesn't really want the junk. You know, well, thank you anyway. You know, but you know, it really is important. You know, and I've noticed this. I've made it a conscious effort on my part to make sure that I just simply don't have that, you know, useless food around.
That's the first step, Robert. You just nailed it on the head, you know, or nailed whatever the term is. You definitely nailed it there, because that's the thing that people don't do. They'll say, oh, well, I can have it there and I won't be tempted. Not true. The minute that you have something like that around, it's calling your name. Now, there is a way to get around that. And that is, say, for example, you're a chocoholic like myself. Then what I learned to do was, and I came from the UK, I'm a sports girl from a wee place called Auchtermochty. So I was used to Cadbury's milk chocolate when I was a kid. And so, yeah, I mean, it was like I lived for that, you know. We didn't have it often, but when we had it, oh, my goodness, I could eat the whole big bar of chocolate. Now, what I did was I learned to really love dark chocolate. At first, it was a unique experience because that's not what I grew up with. But now I couldn't consider anything else because I don't even like the taste of the other chocolate. So it's about learning to eat different things, but having your cake and eat it, so to speak, and only buying small amounts. So don't buy the big bar. Buy a little bar. And then, you know, I tell people, if you're really going to be tempted, then take that bar, break it up into pieces, wrap them up in foil, and then that one little piece is your chocolate bar for the day. And it's amazing because people will actually start to savor it. I mean, one of the things we know is that after the first bite or two, you no longer really taste the food anymore. It's like after the first whiff or something, of, you know, the smell of something, you don't smell that smell after a while. It's like you become, you know, you're sensitized to it, or desensitized to it. So that's the same thing with food. So if you go out for a meal, for example, and you really want to have a dessert, and you're with a group of people, order one dessert, with four forks and enjoy it, you know, rather than having mm-hmm. the whole thing to yourself. That way, you know, there's different ways to have your cake and eat it as well. And that is, you know, it's really about, you know, one, making better choices. So if you've got a choice of a better quality, it's quality over quantity. You know, it's always quality over quantity. And then if you're, like I said, out with friends and you really love something, maybe it's macaroni and cheese. Share the macaroni and cheese. You know, that many restaurants will divide it up for you so that you're not getting the full amount of whatever it is, and yet you're not feeling deprived either. You know, so it's, yeah. And I'm not suggesting that we go out and do this all the time, but, you know, there to have the things that you really enjoy, then there's ways mm-hmm. to do it.
Yeah.
So then it's
yeah,
not going to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Great. Well, we're about halfway through the show, so I want to take just a quick break, and I do want to invite those of you listening, if you would like to ask Marilyn any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. And for those of you listening live in the chat room, if you have any questions for Marilyn, feel free to type them in, and we'll get to those right after the break. And then, Marilyn, when we come back from the break, in part of your book, you look at worry and anxiety, you know, and obviously that was a big part of your cancer years, and it is for those who are dealing with, you know, that diagnosis. So
yeah.
When we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit about worry and anxiety and the trap that it is, and then how it impacts energy and vitality, okay?
Certainly.
Great. Okay, everyone stay tuned.
Sounds
we'll be
great.
Right back after this. Great, after this very brief break. Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope that you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows along with an archive link to the approximately 1,000 shows that we have had over the past 5 years. Our show is available as a free podcast in the iTunes Store. You can subscribe there, or even quicker, there is a link to our show on iTunes on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, etc., and we have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. And finally, also on the site is a link to the great products we provide: books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store with essential oils and personal and spa products. There is so much for you to explore and enjoy on our website, www.biteradio.me. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show. Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. Again, today my very special guest is Dr. Marilyn Joyce, and we've been talking about her book, Instant Energy, The 5 Keys to Unlimited Energy and Vitality. And you can find out more about her book as well as other things that she offers by visiting her website, which is drmarilynjoyce.com. And I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. Okay, so with that, we're back, Marilyn.
Hello, Robert. Great to be back.
Great. Yes, and you know, I think your book, just for those 200 nutritious, delicious, quick and easy recipes, is worth the price just to get those. I spend many hours trying to come up with ideas for healthy, nutritious, you know, eating. I mean, you know, and it would be such a time saver and a lifesaver to have them right in hand.
It does make a difference when you've got easy, quick recipes that you can just, you know, grab at, you know, and have at your fingertips kind of thing. And that's what people say to me. They say once they start using these recipes, they hardly ever open another book because these are not complicated. I mean, I love some of the Julia Child recipes and so on, but they do take a lot of work compared to the recipes in my book.
Well, great. So, well, and toward the end of the toward the end of the show, I want to maybe get an idea of one or two of your favorites. But we'll save that for the listeners to for as a little tease toward the end of the show about that.
Sure.
But I want to talk about worry and anxiety. You know, it's again, it was obviously a part of your, you know, your state of being, you know, during those cancer years. And so, you know, what would you say to someone? Well, first of all, how does worry and anxiety impact, you know, our energy and vitality? And then, you know, for some people, and I have fallen to this trap sometimes too, whenever you encounter stress, it's almost like an automatic reaction sometimes to immediately go to worry or anxiety.
Yes, that's true. And, you know, the whole thing about stress and worry and anxiety is that they block the flow all in every aspect of your life. They block your creativity, so you can't come up with really logical solutions. And it's based on fear of something that may or may not even happen. So, you know, the point is, it's like, you know, what is fear? False expectations appearing real, right? So it's really about looking logically at what's going on instead of going into the worry pattern. Because the minute you go into worry, you waste a lot of time, for one thing. You know, you're sitting there stewing over something instead of taking action. The minute that you, like what I'll say to people is, if you find yourself going into that worry mode, immediately stop whatever you're doing. Get off your seat and on your feet and change your physiology. Because you need to keep the flow happening. It's like when you're feeling stressed, the same thing. Get off your seat and on your feet. Do something different, even if it's just to walk up and down a few stairs or to go get a glass of water or to take 5 minutes to just be still. But do something that's completely different than what you're doing that's creating or bringing up the anxiety or the worry. Because the truth is that worry is not founded on reality. It's founded on fear. So instead, go to love, you know, instead of fear, go to love, you know, and another thing that really does take you out of the worry mode is to do something for somebody else, because worry is kind of I don't want to say it's self-centered, but it is really, in essence, a self-centered experience. So it's, instead of being centered in yourself, be centered in service to someone else. So write a note to somebody. Send an email or a text message to somebody that you care about, telling them how much you love them or that you were thinking about them right then and you just wanted to reach out and say hello. You know, anything that takes your mind off of that moment of worry and fear, because worry never solves the problem. We know that.
No.
You know, it just puts you deeper into the hole. But the minute that you start to make, change your physiology, you'll start to have different thoughts. You'll start to think of solutions. And asking the right question, you know, for example, if you're worrying about something, why am I worrying? What is it that I'm worrying about? How can I change that? What steps can I take? And the minute you start asking yourself those questions, then you'll start to actually, your brain goes into solution mode. It's just, we know this through, you know, neuroscience. Your brain will go into processing a solution. So it's really moving into that solution mode versus the worry mode, which just holds you back.
Yeah.
I hope that's answered the question.
Oh, that's great. Oh, absolutely. Well, I have to say that, you know, a lot of the listeners of my shows know I have had one of the best trainers in worry when I was growing up. I mean, my mother was the mother of all worriers. I mean, it was just, you know, and when I, when that pops up in my life, you know, the first thing is like, oh, here we go again, you know, and it's like, okay, now, you know, what do we, you know, it's kind of like, let's, you know, reprogram this tape. But I really do like the two suggestions of get off your seat and on your feet. Number one, you know, to me, that's great, because that's just, that immediately shifts the energy. And then, of course, doing for someone else too. I mean, that takes you out of that moment. If one can do that, is to somehow shift that moment, you know, of that worry experience, then it becomes less of a barrier or distraction or, you know, kind of a limiting
Absolutely.
Type of, yeah, a feeling. So.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that one of my clients did that I actually, I think I shared it in the book as well. I actually know I shared it. But it was, she put a big red sign up. I had said to her, just tell your brain stop. But she couldn't do it without a something to remind her. So she had a big red sign that she created, a big stop sign. I think she found it online or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then she put these up everywhere. She put one up in the bathroom, one in her bedroom, one in her kitchen. So every time she would go into worry, when she'd, you know, get off her seat and onto her feet, she would walk somewhere and see this sign. And it would say, stop.
Oh.
And so it's, you know, like that brain sees the word stop when you're in the process of worrying, and it'll stop worrying. It will actually go into attention mode. Really, you know, it was a cool idea. I thought it was anyway.
Yeah, very creative. Very creative. I like that. I have Post-its, but I think a stop sign would be much more effective than my Post-its.
Oh, yeah. That big stop sign, yeah. Would do it every time.
Exactly. Okay, great. Now, you know, kind of keep in that same mode of mental kind of activity. How much do our minds influence whether or not we can create sustained energy? Like, for example, one of the things I've noticed is that, and I've been very aware of it, is that whenever I'm physically, emotionally, or spiritually tired or, you know, or drained, I say to myself, I'm tired. I'm so tired, you know, blah, 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 you know, and then mm-hmm. I would catch myself recognizing that I am just reinforcing being tired.
Yeah.
And it's like, so, you know, I try to, you know, shift the thoughts, have some kind of thing of, you know, whatever. But I mean, I just recognize that by either by saying it or even having it run through my head, that I'm basically reinforcing that state of being.
Absolutely, Robert. That is one of the key things. I actually have a seminar called The Power of Our Words, and then it's refocusing. So, for example, if you hear yourself saying, oh, why me? Why is this happening to me? Instead, we'd ask a better question. So instead of saying, why is this happening to me? It's like, what can I gain from this experience? What is the lesson that I need to learn? That was something I really learned from Dr. Siegel as well. It was like when I was going through the journey, he asked me a very interesting question. And back then, I didn't really know how to respond. So my response was when he said, do you see cancer as your friend? Now, it could be cancer. It could be, you know, the job you hate that you're doing or whatever it is. Do you see cancer as your friend? And I said, no. He said, do you see it as your enemy? I said, yes. And he said, let's take a look at that, because if you have something that you see as your friend or your enemy, you keep it with you, because you're either thinking about how much you love the person or you're thinking about how much you dislike the person or hate the person, right? So instead of seeing it as, he challenged me to see it as my teacher. And he said, what the good part about seeing it as your teacher is every time you reach a certain level with a teacher, you graduate from that level and you get a new teacher. So it's like, right? So the journey continues. It's like you go to grade school, and then you go to high school, and then you go to college, and then you go to postgraduate school, whatever you do. But you constantly find a new teacher. So it's really the same thing with when we're going through, you know, any kind of negative thinking, you know, that stinking thinking, as they say. If you can shift it, and you can shift it in a minute to something more positive. So it could be positive affirmations. Those are great. And I do encourage, you know, my clients, we work on positive affirmations that are present tense positive statements that they can make. But even better is when you go into question mode. And, you know, Noah St. John wrote the book on affirmations. He actually created the word. And I loved it when I heard him speak and I bought his materials and I started practicing and I found that to be so powerful. Because it's really about changing the brain, like I said a few minutes ago, into coming up with solutions. It goes into solution mode. So it's, you know, what is the lesson here for me? How can I garner the best experience from this? Why is life so good? Instead of why is life so bad, why is life so good? It's like changing it around. And then what happens is the brain will find ways to make it better. We all go into that bad thinking process, you know, but the power of our word is so powerful. I mean, there's so much power in our words that if we continually say, I'm tired, I'm tired, I'm tired, you will reinforce that. But if you say, I'm energetic, or how can I energize myself right now? It's like you've now put your brain into, okay, what can I do? Oh, I can go grab a piece of fruit, or I can go make a quick smoothie, or I can get a glass of water. I mean, 9 times out of 10, when people are feeling fatigued, they're dehydrated. They just need to get some water into their system, not tea or coffee, water. You know, not juice. Juice is high in sugar. You get eat some fresh fruit instead. You know, that will give you nutrition. It will give you water as well. So.
Yeah, you know, I love that approach, you know, especially with it tired and how can I energize myself. Because one of the things that my reservations with some affirmations is that, you know, by trying to say I'm not tired, you know, when you know darn well that you are, you know, it's kind of like, you know, in your, to me, my subconscious is saying, who the heck do you think you're kidding? You know very well that you're not tired, that you're tired. You know, so, I mean, it was one of those things where I really, you know, and I'm not necessarily a fan of, you know, fake it till you make it. I'm kind of like, you know, be authentic. So in that instance of what can I do to energize myself, you, number one, you acknowledge you're not energetic, you know, and then you do, like you say, get into that solution-based perspective and action-taking.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the whole key, isn't it, Robert? It's like, you know darn well. I mean, the affirmation that I constantly hear people say, and I am wealthy beyond my immediate needs or whatever. And they know darn well they're not, you know. So you're right. It's like we're not being authentic. And that's where the questions were so much more logical to me. It was like when I first heard that concept, I mean, I think that I had heard Tony Robbins talk about, you know, ask a better question, get a better answer. And I really believed in that. And I, in fact, did a whole radio show on asking better questions a few years ago. But the point is that when you get to the place of really turning a negative situation around by asking for a solution, and then letting the brain work, you will come up with them, especially if you have a great resource to turn to or friends that can help you. I mean, you know, sometimes if somebody's in a really bad funk, I'll say to them, just pick up the phone and call. You know, I'll help you move out of that funk, you know, if I'm available. And I think that's the key is like oftentimes we get into a funk and we don't take any steps, but you know, the steps are there. Call a friend, write a note to somebody, get off your seat and on your feet and take a walk around the block. Get out in nature. Nature will turn you around. And here's a great strategy, Robert. I've shared it a lot, but I love this strategy. It's called earthing. You know, and there's actual research that shows when you take off your shoes and socks and walk barefoot in grass or earth or sand, you actually will start to feel energized. And there's the research shows blood platelets that are all, you know, globbed together. And 5 minutes, that's all it took, 5 minutes of walking on the earth and breathing deeply, and the platelets all separated and floated around on their own. So it was an amazing experience to see that under the microscope. I mean, it just blew my mind.
Wow.
So, yeah, and I am, you know, I am a scientist at heart. You know, that's my beginning in the world. So, you know, I like to see the proof. And when I saw that, it was like, okay, now I'm not going to call people crazy that are out there in their bare feet walking around. I mean, the primitive tribes have been doing it forever.
Exactly. Well, that's great. It's nice when science kind of backs up some, you know, some beliefs that, you know, healthy living kinds of things that maybe some people saw as fringe, you know, but when science backs it up, it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun to have that happen.
Absolutely, and we're seeing more and more of that, you know, as time goes on, because people will, scientists will say, okay, I want to find out if this is really true, like prayer. You know, people used to mock prayer. It makes the person feel good, but they've actually found that the power of prayer, when you get a large community of people praying, that energy field is created that is positive. So we have to do that in our own individual lives on a daily basis with everything we do, because we all have things that distress us, upset us, or push us in the direction of worry or concern. But the thing is, you can go there. That's okay. It's inauthentic to deny it. But don't say it. Right.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Move out of it quickly.
Okay. We're kind of down to 10 minutes, and I don't want to go on much further without getting to that tease that we had earlier in the show about some of those recipes. So out of those 200 recipes that you have in your book, what would be maybe one or two of your favorites, you know, that you really, you know, that are kind of either you thoroughly enjoy or that you maybe have found have been really most beneficial or, you know, very beneficial to people who have used those recipes?
Well, one of the recipes that I have had rave reviews from people on is the salmon loaf. Now, if you don't like salmon, obviously you probably wouldn't like this, but it's a salmon loaf with a mustard dressing, a Dijon mustard dressing, and it's really quick and easy to make. A great meal to have as a meal one day and then to have, for lunch or in sandwiches or whatever with the leftovers. So that was one meal that people just raved about. And then I also have my Caesar salad, which is made with all natural ingredients, and it has been getting rave reviews. And, in fact, I love it myself. But it's really one of my favorites. You know, it's just so delicious. I mean, a Caesar salad is just basically romaine and a few things, but it's the dressing that makes it, right? But you want something that's healthy. You don't want something that is made up of ingredients that are unhealthy. So the salad, the Caesar salad dressing and the Caesar salad are real big favorites, to be quite honest. Actually, almost all of the salad dressings, I just did an interview a couple of days ago, and the person who interviewed me said that his favorite part of the book were the salad dressings. He was trying a different salad dressing every week. And because they're so simple. And, you know, the thing is, if you think about most of those salad dressings you buy in the supermarket, they're made to last on a shelf for a long time.
Right.
That doesn't sound like a really healthy, natural component to me for a healthy diet. So what can you do instead? Well, if you can find easy, quick salad dressings that you can just make a batch up and have in your refrigerator for, you know, up to a week, and it's all natural. They're made with all natural ingredients. So truthfully, that whole section has been a real favorite section for a lot of people because they're all really yummy.
I'm looking forward to trying them out.
Yeah.
I just got myself a whole bunch of greens, so definitely going to check that out. We're almost on to the end, and there was one thing that I did want to make sure. You mentioned during the show about how you basically have been helping cancer patients and the caregivers, and on your website you have a focus of helping caregivers take their lives back, and that's one thing that talk about a little inspiration. One morning I woke up and it was like I had to do this caregiver tribute book because I had a couple people that were close to me who were caregivers, and you know, not only was it like important to focus on the things that they learn, you know, the challenges and the benefits of being a caregiver, but also to give kind of tribute to the spirit of the person for whom they're giving care, you know, because that's, I mean, without that person, you're not a caregiver. So for you, you know, in your work with helping caregivers, it seems like that might be a particular subset of people who just through being a caregiver, energy and vitality, sustainable energy and vitality would be a big challenge.
It really is. I mean, what happens when you're a caregiver, whether you're a family member who's a caregiver or you're a professional healthcare caregiver? You know, and I do separate the two out because as a healthcare caregiver, you are really, you're under pressure oftentimes at work because you're a caregiver, and then you come home and you're a caregiver oftentimes with someone you love. So it's a double whammy, and you get burned out really fast. You could love the person so much. You can love your patients so much. I know I did. When I was the director of nutrition for the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, I literally went to all the different units, and I loved my patients, but boy, oh boy, was I burned out at the end of the day. Because it was, you know, you're constantly having to lift yourself up at low points of, mm-hmm. of time with a patient. So basically, when I started teaching caregivers how to just take 5 minutes to take, you know, to be still, you know, because they say, oh, I haven't got time, I'm at work. I'm not. But the thing is, right. when they start incorporating those 5 minute energy tips, you know, like take five to just be still, it would change their entire day and their disposition with the patient. So, you know, whether, again, whether you're at home taking care of someone or you're out at a job doing it or both, it's really critical that you do whatever you can to re-energize yourself. But, again, five-minute strategies. It doesn't have to take a lot of time. It's just get away from the situation and then come back to it more refreshed. So
yeah.
I think that's really critical.
Great. Well, Marilyn, I've thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. Is there anything, maybe any final words that you might want to pass on to listeners that maybe something that we didn't cover that you really want to share?
You know, I think the most important thing, we've covered a lot of different things, but I think the most important thing is I have a saying, take five now to save five later, and that's because of my five-year journey with cancer. And the critical thing in our culture is to really find the time to just be still, and whether it's praying to God or whatever you believe in, you know, whatever your philosophy is, but taking time to pray or meditate or be still, go hug a tree, whatever, but take 5 minutes to save 5 years later. That's a critical thing in our culture today because that's the one thing we're not doing. And if it's okay, Robert, I also have a free checklist for people with my 10 top tips at a 5 minute, the website is 5minuteenergytips.com. So it's the number 5minuteenergytips with an S.com. And they can actually get 10 really good tips they're all just 5 minute tips. They work like a charm and they're simple to do.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I'll be sure that when the show is over to add that to the description so that people who listen to the show in the archives will have that readily available too. So, great.
Super.
I appreciate you sharing that. Okay. Well, I really thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. I already feel energized. I'm ready. I'm ready to go on for another few hours. I really want to thank you for your time, Marilyn.
Oh, this has been such a delight, Robert. I just loved sharing this time with you. You're such a great interviewer because it's all conversation, and I think people learn so much more from that. So thank
great,
you.
Thank you. Yeah, and now are you on social media?
I am on social media, and I will be sure to post this everywhere.
Great, and I will too, and I'll join you wherever you are. I'll search you out and find you. So
sounds
so I can,
great,
can follow
Robert.
You as well. All right, well, thank you again for your time.
Thank you. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you. You as well. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Dr. Marilyn Joyce, and we've been talking about her book, Instant Energy, The 5 Keys to Unlimited Energy and Vitality. And again, you can find out more by visiting her website, which is drmarilynjoyce.com. And also you can get those energy tips by going to the website, www.5minuteenergytips.com. And again, that link will be in the show page description very shortly. So I really want to thank you all for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again. Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me. And our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.